Thank you. Bless you. take the time to praise your name. You're my comforter, you're my friend. No greater love has any man. Yes, Jesus is supplying. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him, whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him, whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lives in me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lives in me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him, whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Oh yes, wherever I am. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lives in me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him, whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him, whenever I can, I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name I am, I'll praise Him, whenever I can, I'll praise Him. Jesus live in me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him whenever I can. I'll praise Him, for His love surrounds me like the sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, lift up the name of Jesus, for the name of Jesus live in me. Wherever I am,
and the songs are very appropriate to what I've been dealing with or going through, whatever you might want to call it. It's not been bad, but it's been good because it's been good for me, what I'm going through. And God has really been working on me on faith. And faith is like coming out of my ears. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's the word faith. And for my birthday, two people got me signs, faith. You know, it's like, okay, I'm listening, Lord. I am listening. And, you know, sometimes I say something like, oh, I've got faith, but do I really? So God tested me about a few weeks ago. I was sitting here and, you know, they were picking up the offering and I had a $10 bill in my wallet and that never... Money never crosses my mind, you know. I make my tithes with a check, but I hardly ever have cash. But the day I did, I had $10 bills, and I was like, I mean, one $10 bill. And it's like something told me, you know, put it in the plate, and the plate keep getting closer. And I'm like, that's the only money I got. I might need it, you know, this week. Put it in the plate. So I just, okay. I got it into my purse. I took it out. I put it in there real quick, you know. Take it away. You know, don't let me look at it. Don't let me get it back. So it was that. And then I just, you know, forgot about it. And about, later that afternoon, evening, close the service, I looked in my purse, and there was five $20 bills in there. And I know, God, you can never outgive the Lord. He multiplied it. And it's not the first time that that's happened. And that's why that song is so, means so much to me, about He always supplies my needs. He has never failed me. So why shouldn't I get up and thank Him and appreciate Him and show Him that I do appreciate everything God has done for me in my life? And I just have to not just talk about it, but like walk the talk, or what is it called? Talk the walk. I don't know how to say it, but y'all know what I'm talking about. And not mean what I say, not just in what I do. And anyways, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that God is still dealing in my life and about different situations and different ways to, you know, I'm asking for wisdom on handling several things that's going on, and he's supplying that wisdom, and it's up to me to use it right, the right way. And Brother Painter's words this morning at the Bible study, that, I mean, that hit home, and it really helped, because it, you know, made me see that I am doing what God wants me to do. I am. Thank you, Brother Painter, because I needed to hear those words. I prayed on the way in. I said, Lord, let me hear something, a confirmation of what's going on. And He did. And so I am so, so very grateful and so thankful that God is still thinking that I am worthy to be here, because I'm not worthy of anything. I mean, I feel like He cares. He cares that much for me. And I love you, and I love all of y'all that has been here putting up with my way of talking. And now I have another reason why I'm talking funny. A lot of you guys know I got a partial, and it's hard for me to, you know, deal with it. And anyways, I didn't even think about it when I was up there. You know, I'm trying not to let anything come between me and God and hinder me. So, hey, if it falls out, falls out. Bonnie's going to have to catch it. She's got a thing about it just bothers her. So I was like, maybe that's going to have to happen to work on her. But anyway, I love the Lord. I love each one of y'all.
Linda, did you say you said you found five $20 bills? All right. Thank God. Well, we're glad to be in church today, aren't we? Feeling the Lord and knowing that He's moving in our behalf. We're kind of anxious as to what the Lord's going to do in our midst today, are we not? And, you know, we can say, well, let's see, the pastor's gone, Brother and Sister Tally's gone, Brother and Sister Durham's gone, who else? Can't think of everybody, pardon? Mike and Brother Michael and Sister Cindy are gone, Daniel's not here, pardon? All right. Know that he has some serious health issues, and we really need to pray for him very much. Also, Brother and Sister Crow, and pardon? McPhees, yes, they're not here today. Brother Brian's not here. Sister Holly's working. I know that she's working today, or at least I think she is. Brother Al, he's gone, you know. But look at who's all's here. That's, you know, those folks are gone. They're going to miss out on what we do today. I'm kind of excited, aren't you? And we had an elder lady back years ago that got up in one of her services, and she was talking, and Brother Tucker had been talking along the lines of being enthusiastic and, you know, being, you know, don't just kind of drag your testimony along. And the service was just, it was one of them kind of services where, you know, just nothing really was taking place. Nothing was going on. Everybody's, I think everybody's kind of checking their watch and saying, well, when is this thing going to be over with, you know? And this is Grandma Dodge is who it was. But anyway, she's talking along and just talking. And about halfway through her testimony, she said, if you want to be enthusiastic, you have to talk enthusiastic. Oh, man. I'm telling you, serving Jesus is great. It just, you know, the zip cord of heaven, she just got a hold of it and unzipped it. The power of God fell in that service, and we all went home encouraged in the Lord. So it doesn't take a big statement, and it doesn't take a long statement. It doesn't take a great big preacher or a little bitty one. It just takes reaching up and getting a hold of God. Ask him to come into our midst and be a part of what we're doing, and asking him to allow us to be a part of what he's doing. Whether you know it or not, it takes people working with God to accomplish what God wants to have accomplished in the earth. You realize that? If God done it by himself, it wouldn't get done. If we tried to do it by ourselves, it still wouldn't get done. But if we start working with God, there's no telling what he can get accomplished in this world. Amen. That's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to find the will of God for our lives, for the other lives of other people. We're trying to find his will in our lives, and then trying to convey that to other people in such a way that it will let them to know that serving Jesus is the best life there is. You know, I'm amazed at Brother Daniels. You know, we're asking prayer for him. But I'm amazed at him. I really am. Because of where he come from. You know, he's a living miracle in our midst. And I know that all the rest of you are too. But my point is that he was into drugs. He was into alcohol. He was into everything you could get into in the world. And yet God dealt with him and brought him here, and he's thrilled to death. He's thrilled because all he could find out there was a make-believe, a makeshift. And I'm telling you that God has got things that's better than what this world can give you, regardless of who you are, what you get mixed up in. You can't find out there what God can give you in here. Hallelujah. Thank God. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm feeling better already. I'm feeling better already. Knowing that God's doing something in this earth and we're a part of it. We are a part of it. Of course, this world, they like to think that, you know, that you can go to the airport and get on any plane. If I was going to the airport and going to go to Chicago, you know what plane I'd get on? It certainly wouldn't be the one going to Houston, Texas. Wouldn't be the one going to Atlanta. It wouldn't be the one going to New York. I'd get on the one going to Chicago. But in this religious world out here today, everybody seemingly thinks that it doesn't make any difference where you go, what plane you get on, you're going to get to Chicago regardless. You know? But I got news for you. God has got a certain plane that he wants you to catch. He's got a certain plane he wants you to get on. If he didn't, there wouldn't be certain scriptures in the book that kind of lines us up to say, look, you know, this is what it takes to get here. You've got to go through a certain process in order to get here. And if you can't find where that process is at and learn about the process, you're not going to choose the right plane. So we're trying to choose the right plane today. We're trying to catch the right one. And like I said, I don't want to end up in New York. I really don't want to go to Chicago either. I've been there, done that, and don't want to go back. But I do want to make heaven my home. I want to become a part of what God's got down through the ages. And He's given me an opportunity to be a part of it. And not only me, but He's given you an opportunity. I thought here Brother Painter covered it last Sunday, I believe it was, when he was talking concerning the Scriptures, where that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in the Scripture in the Bible. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then Brother Philip Fisher covered this same Scripture again Wednesday night. And I thought I might reiterate it here today, that Nicodemus looked at him and said, "Why? How is it that after I'm grown, that I can re-enter into my mother's womb and be born again?" He didn't understand that Jesus was talking about a spiritual birth. Then Jesus said to him, "You must be born of the Spirit and of the water." And in those statements that he made, he said, "You must be born again in order to see the kingdom of heaven." First, he said, "You must be born of the water in order to see the kingdom of heaven." That means water baptism. You have to be baptized in water and be baptized right in order to see the kingdom of heaven. That hadn't got you in there yet. It just let you to see it. He said, then you must be born to the Spirit in order to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. I thought, my Lord, what a great opportunity that we have here today. Those of us that have been baptized right, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and setting down in the kingdom of heaven. Paul made a statement one time to some people. He said, how did he put that? That God hath gathered us together and caused us to set out in heavenly places. And I know that a lot of people look at that scripture, when they read that, they're thinking, well, where in the world is those people at that are sitting down in a place where heaven's at? You know, it's kind of a far off place. That's not talking about that. That's talking about here. He's gathered us together. God gathered you together. He's gathered me with you. I'm privileged to be a part of you. Privileged to be sitting here with you. This is a heavenly place according to God. This is where God meets His people. In an outstanding way and in a group way. But aren't we glad today to be among God's people? We're so glad for our visitors here. And I think, if I'm correct, most of you have been here before. Is there any of you that this is your first time to be with us? Somebody's pointing and this is your first time to be with us? Well, we're glad you're here, and all the rest of you as well. We're thrilled that you're with us. And then I have our granddaughter, my wife and I's granddaughter's here with us today. I think this is not her first time, but it's been a long time since she's been here. And we're glad to have her with us today. Her name is Ashley McGowan, believe it or not. She's our son's youngest child. She become a senior this year, and I told her when, just a week before she started school, I said, when I take you to a restaurant from here on in, I said, I'm gonna get a discount on you. She looked at me with a puzzled, look on her face, and I said, well, I said, you're now a senior, so I get a senior discount on you. I pick on her a little bit, nearly every day, at least a little bit. But she's pretty nice about it. She picks back, too. So no faith for a minute. And when I get too heavy on her, guess what she says? Those infamous words. Nana, Papa's picking on me! Of course, Sister Ann, she hollers at me, and I have to, kind of settle down and behave myself. But anyway, we're glad to be in church today and know that God's going to meet us in an outstanding way. We've already named Brother and Sister Crow, Brother Tally, Brother Daniels. our brother Boyd over here, this is not his normal way of coming into service. But it's my understanding that he's got some infection, giving him some trouble. So we want to pray for him. Who's the others? Who all else do we need to pray for? Brother Larry? Connor? Yeah? He's real sick, my Lord. And then what about your good Grandma Smith? But I was thinking of her. It's not her. It's her grandson-in-law, isn't it? Rachel's husband. You have no idea what relationship he is to. He's married to your granddaughter, right? All right. He needs prayer, I think. He's not got up going good, I don't think. Who else? All right. Remember Brother Smith and the meeting that's going on in, is that in Louisville? Okay. Just trying to get it right. Brother Wallace? Dylan? All right. And whom? Sister Donna, okay. I think he's going back to the service Tuesday. So, all right, let's remember them. All right. Anyone else? Sister Abraham? Let's pray the Lord would deal with her family. Who else, Sister? All right. Your brother-in-law has cancer. Okay. That's your sister that has that? All right. Let's pray. God would move in their behalf. All right, let's all stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Sister whom? Anna Della Rosa? All right. Remember them. All right, let's all go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Oh, God, we ask you on behalf of your people to overshadow Brother and Sister Crow, Brother Daniels, all these special needs here today, Lord. Brother Connor, reach out and touch these people, Lord. These that are gathered here, Sister Abraham's family, Lord, would your spirit deal with them, deal with their hearts, touch them, Lord, in a special way to where that they recognize and realize that you're there and you're real and that you can be real in our hearts and lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah, dear Lord, overshadow the remainder of this service today. Let your spirit reign supreme among us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, dear Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen, amen. Failed to ask the brethren to come forward and receive the offering, but
I want to lift up that wonderful
want to lift up that wonderful name.
Thank you, God. Lord, you're so good. So good. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
As I was growing up as a child, I was the most elusive person going. My father said, sit down, shut up. If I don't see you, that's all well. And I grew up that way and went into the military. And they saw this as a virtue. Wasn't very much of a virtue. And I was pretty much, you know, if I was by myself, I could be happy, make myself happy, content, and wasn't outgoing at all. And I tried to see the bad parts of people and work very diligently not to have them in my life. And I'd see the good parts, and I worked trying to keep that in my life, but I would still be by myself, of myself. And I went through 2 bad marriages, and I went on trying to build up my career, and every time I would start someplace, I would work my way up to the top rather quickly, but something would happen, and I would lose it. And I'd have to start from ground zero of something I didn't know all over again. And I'd get to the top, and I'd lose it, and have to start all over. Well, I finally even had to leave the area that I knew best, my home, and go to Texas. And again, I got into occupations that I didn't know, went from the bottom to the top, and it fell. Not of my fault, but I mean, companies would disperse, or national calamities, or things that would just put me out of work. So I moved to Arkansas and started working as a security guard. Had nothing to do all night, so I studied the Bible. I had a full year to go through the Bible several times. I didn't know I was being prepared for what was to come. I went to visit my children, ended up in jail, and spent 6 months in jail, not allowed to touch a Bible. So I had to go on what I had already learned and that I could remember. And I thought, well, okay, 6 months, child support, they'll let me out on work release, and I'll go on about my way. I don't know what was done, said, or anything, but the judge was not as you would figure a judge would be. If he had a sword, he would have cut my head off and been thrilled. But I went back to my cell knowing I was going to prison. I'd been in, you know, EMS, law enforcement, and various other things that criminals do not like. And the life expectancy of a person of that quality is 24 hours. So I got praying, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed. And next thing I knew, I was dreaming. I mean, just all sorts of dreams that just I can't imagine. And I tried to work myself out of the sleep, and I tried to come up out of my bunk, and it's like somebody was holding my head, holding me down. by my shoulders. And then I felt a drop of oil on my forehead. And I come up that quick. And I was speaking in tongues. And I had no idea of the Holy Ghost. No idea what I had just received. But I went on to prison. And I really didn't associate with people. You know, it's best you don't. But people would say, well, we're going to the workout room. You know, I got to get all pumped up so I can be prepared. So what becomes me of the night or whatever? And I said, well, I'm going to church. Okay. And then they come to me a little later and says, you know, I really wish I had the courage you did to go to church instead of getting prepared for war. Well, they didn't know how fearful I was. And I was so afraid that I called on God continuously. They tried to do things, and I would get out of their presence somehow, grab my Bible, and go read it. Well, Bible. I wasn't allowed to have a Bible for the first 3 months of my prison stay, and it had to be the one that the chaplain gave me, which it wasn't the King James, of course, but it was a Bible. And I was able to draw on what I knew and what I could pick back up. And it kept me strong. And I went from prison to a work release. And before I left the prison gates, I had a job. Person says, what do you do? And I said, plastics. I have a friend that needs a person. So I had to spend a couple weeks to prove myself in work release and went straight to a job as a supervisor. Well, that company went down, and I thought, oh, no, I've got to go back to prison. So I got a newspaper while I was in the barracks, and there was a job for a personnel supervisor. And I called, and I made an appointment. Yeah, and I went and told my counselor. And she says, no, you got to come to me so I can arrange this. I says, well, please, call these people and arrange it. And she just looked at me like, this is not the way this works, but okay, we'll do it. Well, I got a job that made several times more than every guard there at the security place, and most of the other people could really, it was a die-for job. And I'm still locked up. So, you know, I've got guards that are asking me, can you get me in over there or this or that? I mean, and they wouldn't, you know, usually they torment you in work release. You know, oh, you didn't, here, do this. It's the worst thing I can think of. Oh, that's not right. Do it again. They come in, they hand me a sheet, they say, this is what we've got. Pick one. Okay, I get done, I go back up, and I says, I'm done. All right, check. Go to your bunk. I said, go check it out. Don't have to. We know you. Okay. So then there was a next step into what they call restricted community activity. You have to check in with a responsible person and hold a job. And they call and make sure you're there at times and whatever. Nobody lived where I was at. So they said, well, we'll let you live in an apartment by yourself. Okay. And the ones we picked for you was a rather nice apartment complex. So it was in the middle of winter. I was walking to work, and they said, why are you walking to work? Well, I don't have a vehicle. Well, we belong to a credit union. Go down and get a vehicle. So I asked my counselor if this is possible. Well, okay. I'm still locked up in the prison system, and that little red pickup I used to drive was a truck that I got at that time, 2 years old. So here I have this nice little red pickup to drive to and from work. And my ex-wives are just, they're calling the prosecutor daily, daily, daily. This man is corrupt. He needs to go back to prison. He needs to, I mean, he can't do this. He can't get away this easy. And my parole officer and counselor says, well, we got problems with your ex-wives. And here's a letter. And you go on parole tomorrow. You load that little red truck up, and you drive as fast as the law allows you to drive back to Arkansas, and you stay there. Don't ever come back. Every time my wife and I come back to visit, I get a call from the law. So we stay in Arkansas. And I got down here, and I checked in with parole, and they said, well, we got real criminals. And he immediately wrote a letter back to the state of Indiana and says, get this man off. Set him free. And they denied me, so I'd stay on parole for 2 years. But he wrote several letters to him. But meantime, several of my dreams came true. You know, not interpreted, but I mean as I dreamed them, which told me there was something about my life that was being constructed and driven. Well, lo and behold, in that dream, there was this person. So I ran across her. We started discussing scriptures and different things, and she wouldn't give me a direct answer. Thank you, Brother Tucker. Answer a question with a question. But she says, I know where they teach on it. So we were driving by here, and she says, and I said, that's a church in my dream. She says, yeah, that's a place. So as soon as possible, I made my way here. And as soon as I walked in the door, the Spirit fell on me. Confirmed, I'm supposed to be here. And the last 20 years I've never known a lifestyle like this. I would be lost without it. And my son asked me to come visit him. Bought me a round trip ticket on a bus. Spent about 3 weeks there. And, you know, Brother Weininger has taught me to see the Lord and what's going on. Well, it was good for a visit. My son and I needed to get together and needed to get to know each other, straighten out differences. And he says, well, I'm 43 now. We can discuss everything. Boy, did I miss out on a lot. But I didn't feel the Lord in staying there. So I come back home. I'm here where I'm supposed to be. And I'm thrilled to death that I am. This is home. This is my family. The family's about to get a whole lot greater because I'm still having dreams. And I'm watching them. I don't let my dreams drive me, but I watch them to see what takes place if this is part of it. And a lot of things are still taking place. So we're all about to get real busy. God bless you all. I love you, my family.
testimony. I hate to get up and take time, but I'm thankful to have my husband here in church. And whenever I met him, I wasn't looking for anyone, and I was out of church. I had something happen to me personally, Brother Tucker died, and Brother Leniger took over, and I had talked with Brother Leniger, and he knew what I was going through, and he told me that God would be with me just to do what I had to do. I was asked not to talk about what happened. Something happened, and it wasn't edifying, so I couldn't talk about it, and I just left for safety, actually. And that's all I'll say. Not to put any bad light on anything. And it's nothing in the church. It was just something personal. But anyway, I ran into Brother Leniger and Sister Leniger in the grocery store one day after that, about a couple of years. And during that time, I worked at the phone company for about nearly 30 years. And they divested. They broke up with the Bell system and went into AT&T and all that. And they took me out of Southwestern Bell and put me in AT&T. And I thought, actually, I'd be able to work longer with that. So I was trying to stay with something that I'd be able to get a retirement, you know, after all those years. And they sent us home one day without pay for 2 weeks. They took turns. I think they were trying to cut back on money and see who would stay and who wouldn't. And they took my badge, and I'd trained the person that sent me out the door, trained them for their job. And I told them, I said, they're going to send me out. You better watch your back. And they said, I know you're right. And it really humbled them to send me out because I trained them for their job, but I took it from them. I went out in front of my car and threw up. I was so upset because I knew I was going to lose my house. I was making payments, and that 2 weeks would throw me where I couldn't make my house payment. And it was, my daughter was graduating from high school, was trying to get her in college. So that was going to mess up everything. It was right around May and June they did this to me. And I was afraid to be at home when my daughter came home from work. She was working at Skaggs Alpha Beta grocery store. And I was afraid to be there. She knew I worked everything. Every time they had the doors open, I was there working. I worked every hour I could while they employed me. And because I knew there was a day coming and I'd have to fall back on that. And anyway, I guess I got home and my stomach hardened like a rock and came out of my body, probably because it had been upset. And then my nerves were on edge, and the nerves tightened around my stomach and brought my stomach out of my body. It was like a rock, and I couldn't relax. I don't know if you've ever tensed up under stress, but I was under that much stress at work. And I was worried about everybody's job. I knew what they were doing, and I was trying to protect everybody and trying to keep my own job. And they'd sent about 20 people home permanently, basically. They weren't going to bring them back. And they were right around, they were under 20 years, so they weren't protected. I had more than that, and so I was protected that way, but I wasn't thinking about that they were doing. But this is the corporate America, and so I had found a lawyer that would help these people that were without a job go back and try to recover some of their money, or at least get some kind of retirement or something. I don't know if they got wind of that or whatever, but they did send me home. And the union couldn't protect us, and we were all paying union dues. And I looked at them, and I said, what are you going to do about this? And they said, there's nothing I can do. And I said, is that so? I said, well, if you can't do anything,
why are we paying union dues? Anyway, he didn't do anything. He didn't lift a finger to help. And so when I got home, I called the ambulance because I didn't know what was wrong and I couldn't get my breath. My stomach was upset, and they told me I'd had an anxiety attack. And they said that it's pretty severe, if, you know, it could have caused a stroke or whatever. And they told me if I could get to a doctor, that they advised me to do that, because I didn't even know if I had insurance coverage right then. The way they sent me home, I didn't know what I had. And they said, well, if you're not sure and you don't want to, you know, cost yourself money, why don't you just go to the doctor and see what they say? Well, the doctor put me on anxiety medicine and put me on antidepressant because I was severely depressed at that point. I didn't know what the future held. And so about that time, I met this friend, and they said, I've got somebody I want you to meet. And I said, I'm not looking for anybody. I'm worried about my job. And they said, well, I've got this. I think you really need to meet this person. And I said, well, that's the furthest thing from my mind. I don't need any more problems. And they introduced me to Steve, my husband. And he was excited and tickled and very sweet and very nice and very gracious. And I thought, well, he might be all right to go out and eat with or something like that, you know. And I sure don't need to get anything going with anybody, though. And so I was worried about, like him, I was worried how it's going to make it from day to day. I wasn't worried about making friendships right then. But God, you never know what God's got in mind for you, so... I try to go with the flow as much as I can and try to watch what God's doing in my life, but sometimes, you know, other people also have other agendas and you don't know what they're up to, so you just have to watch your back. But anyway, I thought, well, I'll just see what this is all about. And he told me he had a dream about me. He said, I saw you in my dream. I know you. I know you before I met you. And I said, that is the nicest line I've ever heard. And I didn't believe it, but he's brought it up to me several times, so it must be so. But anyway, I think I finally went over to his, he bought a place on Billy Goat Mountain with his, he'd had his first injury driving a truck that did not have air ride, and he stepped out of the truck and his neck dislodged, and he had spine injury. And anyway, he got some kind of payout from that where he could live and go to the doctor and get help. And he took some of that money and bought him 10 acres on Billy Goat Mountain and bought a little used mobile home and set it up there, and had his little red truck that he got when he was on work release. And he invited me up there, and I told him, I said, well, I don't usually go to men's houses till I get to know them better. And he said, well, I won't hurt you. And I said, well, I'm not familiar with that area or anything, and I wouldn't do it. And I wasn't in church, but I mean, I still had morals, believe it or not, that I lived by. I know a lot of people have said things because I was out of church, but they don't really know my life, but God does. So I just leave it up to him to cover it. But anyway, I went out there, and I was really on guard because he had a cowboy hat on and boots and a big old belt buckle said Lone Star State, and I'm from Texas originally. And I thought... Well, I love the cowboy look because I was raised on a ranch in Colorado. My grandparents had horses, and I really loved horses and the cowboy look and all that thing. And I thought, I don't know how he knew that would impress me, and I don't think he did, but it did. But anyway, I was kind of guarded, and we got in there, and he was showing me his albums of his children. And I said, well, where are you? Why are you not with your children? And he said, well, it's a long story. But before we got married, he told me everything. He was truthful and honest with me, and he did level with me, which is good because it came up later in court, and they wanted to know if I knew everything about him. And I said, well, I think he's been honest with me. And he was. Come to find out, they told me stuff that they didn't think I knew, and I knew. And I said, well, yeah, I knew that about him. Well, yeah, I knew that about him. And they said, well, what are you doing with him? I said, well, because he's better than that. He's a better person than that, and I know him. I know him better than that. I know him better than you do. And anyway, while I was out there, he started asking me Bible questions. I'd gone out with people, nobody ever asked me Bible questions. I had prayed to be around somebody that loved God and, you know, Bible questions, and I'd love that. That was right down my alley, but I never. There's not that many people out there you'll discuss the Bible with unless they're hungry or they want to outdo you on the Bible or something like that. And so I tried to avoid it a little bit, but knowing that I'm not that a scholar in the Bible, you know, and I might say something wrong, Brother Tucker cautioned us about that. You know, be careful for nothing. And he would ask me, well, what do you believe about the devil? And I said, well, I said, that's funny you should ask me that. I said, we teach about that in my church. He said, where do you go to church? I said, well, I'm not in church right now, but I should be, but I'm not in church right now. And he said, well, what did they teach? And I said, well, I'm scared to say because I might tell you wrong. And they may have changed on it. He said, changed on it. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, in our church, we are evolving in God. And I said, they get more light as time goes by. God's opening and revealing more things to us. So we're kind of, we're growing in the Lord. And he said, I've never heard of a church like that. I said, well, I've never been to another church like that either. But I visited a lot of churches when I was trying to find God in my life. And I said, I really believe they have the truth. I believe that, as far as I know, they have more light on the word than anywhere I've been. And I think God is still working with these people. And he said, well, take me to that church. I said, well, I said, now, be sure you're ready. Because I said, you can't just walk in there and it's nothing to play around with. I said, God's there. And God's people are there. It's a holy place. I said, you have to be dedicated to go there. And he said, I'm ready. I said, you're ready? I said, this is so funny. I've dated other people, and nobody asked me. I said, you're ready to go to church? He said, yes. I said, well, that's hilarious. So we drove by here, and he came in to get something from somebody. Brother Keith Shelton was here at the time. His mom, I was living with Norvaline Shelton at the time because I was without a job and I would not file disability and I was going to try to go back to work. So for about a year, I had no income. So I was really going through a bad time right then. But they put me on sick leave and let me draw sick pay for a year. Which I was amazed. I didn't know they was going to do that. And so I was able to make it. And anyway, Steve came here and he started to church. Well, he jumped the gun on me because I was going to come back. And I couldn't come back there with him in here. I thought, well, it looked like I went back there for him. And that's not why I came back to church. Came back for the Lord and the truth. And for my soul's sake, and my family, my children. and also for him too. But anyway, he would try to speak to me in church, and I would say, hi. I wouldn't have anything to do with him. And because I did not want people to think. That's why I came back to church, because it really wasn't. And I wanted people to know that I was here to serve God, not to for companionship. And he wouldn't leave me alone. He would not leave me alone. He just kept on and kept on. And one day, Brother and Sister Linegar invited us to dinner together. And he said, y'all have tried to help everybody else. He said, why don't y'all help yourself and get together and try to talk things out and see what y'all can come up with? And I thought, well, I felt better then, knowing that my minister would, you know, be okay with it, because I just didn't want to do something. I felt like I was back here thanking God, I'm just glad to get back, you know, because it's a scary thing to get out there in the world and then try to come back to church. It's hard. It's not easy. And I was trying to dedicate myself. I was really doing without. I got me an apartment, and I had no furniture at the time. Shirley Bailey and Sue Thompson loaned me furniture, and the church gave me food and helped me get on my feet. I appreciate that. I'll never forget it. And they did a pounding for me or something when I got my apartment, and I really never expected that, and everybody helped me, and it was so sweet. And I appreciate the people here. And so now, we did get married, and we got married during the service here. We didn't do anything special. Sister Toni said she got married that way, and she was my friend, my friend in church. And so was Sister Debbie, and they were both real sweet to me and told me, encouraged me to, they thought it was sweet and that we should get together, and I looked at them kind of as mothers. You know, Sister Tucker, I did too, if she had been here, and Sister Linegar. And we did, and we just, we've had a struggle, but, you know, God's good, and we're still in church, and Steve's had quite a time with his neck and his health. I raised my grandchildren in here, and my daughter was raised in school here through the 8th grade. I think that she didn't get the monitors training and it messed her up, and I pulled her out of school. I wished I hadn't done that. That's something I regret. I wished I'd left her in the school. It really was helping her, and I think it would have been better for her had I stayed, but I was afraid at the time, and I felt like it was safer to leave. And I guess I was led away, not thinking straight probably, and the church was going through some chaos because Brother Tucker had died and Brother Linegar was trying to take over. Brother Weiniger was working with him and he encouraged us a lot too and was very supportive, him and Sister Joyce. And I noticed that they had really become dedicated here working in the church, and that gave me security knowing them before and after I left and came back. So my daughter came a couple of times without me, and her dad wasn't here, and she tried to fit in, and she said she just didn't feel like she could fit in, and I would give anything if I could get her back in church and my grandchildren, and I would love it if for Steve's children to come. I've tried to be good to them just like I would my own kids, and tried to make them feel loved and welcome. I don't think they've gotten a lot of that out there where they're at, so I'm hoping we can draw them. I'm praying we can. They would be an asset. They've got a lot of talents, a lot of things they could use and help us. But, you know, God knows his plan, and I want his will in our life. And I'm thankful to be here. I'm so glad Sister Abraham's children are here today. I don't know if it's a special day or if it's a holiday and they're all together. And I just know that she has prayer for them all the time. And I feel like they're our kids too. And I feel like our kids are home. And appreciate y'all being here. And I always ask about y'all, and I know a lot of us do. We're concerned for you and your welfare. And your mom, I know what it would mean to me to have my children here, my family, my children that I birthed, but having y'all here is just as great, believe me. I appreciate y'all being here. And I know she does. She's talked to me a lot of times about it. And I'm real thankful Brother and Sister McGowan's granddaughter's here. I haven't seen her since she was very young, and she's quite a little lady now. And I'm praying for her future. And I love all you people here. I love our new people that are coming, and I pray that they keep coming, that God makes a way for them to come. That I know the world's pulling, but, you know, just ignore it. You'll have a better outcome if you just keep coming. And God bless each of you. I'm so thankful to be here.
I want to tell you folks what happened to us, and I think this is the time. I was a Sunday school teacher, and one day Nathan came home. We could walk to church. It was that close. And Nathan came home, and he said, I was standing at the stove, and I was stirring gravy. It's always, when you have memory, it's always the details, you know, because that takes place in your mind. And I was stirring gravy in a big cast iron skillet, because sometimes we would have 10 and 12 people at our table. And he said, Mom, when I grow up, he said, I want to be a preacher. Well, today I saw him downstairs, and I felt like, Lord, you've been so good to me. But I'll tell you, when you ask God for something, get prepared, because it won't happen, or it didn't happen to us. I'm not going to go into details, but I will say that we were in the biggest church in Bentonville. I was working, going to school. The kids were always in school, in high school. But, you know, when I started praying, I said, Lord, I don't want my son in a seminary. And I knew the church we were in would have sent him to school and all of that, probably free. So I started praying. And we went through a time. We went through a time when the preacher was cast out. We went through a time. But do you know that God took us out of that church clean? God will not take you. If God has got a plan in your life, at least for us, he took us clean. And there was a period there. Leon had had a massive surgery. And then the tragedy happened in the church. And long about January, we didn't have a church to go to. And we would drive around. We would get ready on Sunday morning, and we would drive around looking for a church. And God would not let us. But I was taking care of a little lady named Sister Jenny Baker down at Montanay. And her and I would talk about the body. And then she quit talking to me. And I said, Jenny, you don't talk about your church anymore. And she said, I think you got tired of hearing me. Well, I guess there was something in me that had to be cleaned up. So I went on that spring, and Leon and I had bought a big farm out west of Decatur, and we took a trip, wonderful trip, came back home. But I always remembered that I had told Sister Jenny Baker that one time we would try her church. So Lainey was 7 years old, and another little girl there in the church was five, and they're still real good friends. And one Sunday, I thought, well, we're going to a Pentecostal church. How do we dress? And that was the biggest moment of that Sunday morning. We were running a paper route because we all had to work. I will say about Nathan, he was the youngest paper carrier in the city of Rogers. He was 9 years old when all this started. And the time had gone on. He was a little bit older then when this happened. But do you know that we got ready, and it was 19 miles. Now, used to, we walked to church. So then we started driving 19 miles. And we walked to church, and I walked in, and I sat down. And Sister Jenny Baker just turned around and smiled. We had come home. I had heard about the body in a way. In 1951, I got to go to church one time, and it turned out that was Brother Day's church, because my husband was stationed at Scott Air Force Base. It is amazing to me how God works. Don't ever, if God tells you to do something, don't ever say it's not going to happen, because, folks, it will happen. And it happened so wonderfully. That Sunday morning, I started crying. I had a lot of crying to do. I think I cried for 6 weeks. But Nathan said to me one day, he said, Mom, he said, you say yes now. I said, I know, son. I say yes where I used to say no. But I had more to live for. When God gives you something to live for, folks, live it. That's why I'm sitting here. My house sold a month ago. Nathan helped move me down. Some of my stuff is still up there and all that. But as of next Sunday, Dester has finished his work that he was going to do up there in Huntsville, Arkansas. And he's supposed to be moving down here. And it is amazing to me how God works. I never will get over the amazement you can have when you start out on a journey. So, folks, if you're on a journey with God, God bless you and stay with it. I mean, the rough get going and the tough stay, or whatever you, however that goes, you know what I mean. But it is that Sunday. When we turned around and there was Sister Jenny Baker, the kids had met her and they just loved her. She was that kind of a woman, an elderly woman, and she was a grandma when we met her. But anyway, that Sunday morning, there was a peace there that we could not find in this worldly church. We tried. I taught. The kids worked. They're in church. They went on trips with the church, big church group. But yet, there was a peace there. And that's the peace that we find here in this church, or that I find. And I am so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful for all of the things, all the light that I have seen. I will never forget sitting in back in the dining room with some of the brothers from the church, because 2 weeks ago, a brother, I don't know who it was, told about how God works with you. His brother Smith, I believe. How God works with you when he's educating you. Well, when I got my education on the subject of the devil, I was sitting back in the dining room. And me and Brother Harry Lane and Brother Herman Youngblood, and I mean, we were arguing it. But when you've heard something all of your life and you start getting the truth about something, you reject it. Or I did. I don't know about other people. But I appreciate what I learned, and I'm so glad to be here, and I'm glad to have this church. And so pray for us, because there's members of my family that when they left church, they left here. They took what they got, and they're searching. But the truth, and you find it in the Bible, and that is what is so interesting to me, is how much of the truth can be found in the Bible, in the Word, but people don't listen. But anyway, I've said all that to say this, but I'm glad I love teaching, and I was teaching the kids on the bus. They would bring them in on the buses so the parents could do whatever they wanted to do, and some of those children, and I ran a daycare center, and I have this to say, not too many months ago, I walked into Kentucky Fried Chicken, and the man behind the counter, tears came in his eyes. And he said, "Don't you remember me?" And I looked at him, and all at once, he was about 5 years old. And it was a child that I had taken care of. And he said, "All the good that you folks done for me." So you never know when you're planting a seed in the heart and mind of a small child, how that is going to come back. And I think that taking my son Nathan, and I am proud of him, and I'm proud of my daughter and her and the children, but I'm also proud of what my other children have done. We are all military, and my grandson-in-law is now out of Iraq. We hope for the last time. He's spent, I think it's 4 times over there. And there's a whole lot of things going on with our young people that we really need to carry them before the Lord whenever we think, because we see that things are changing. But anyway, I'm really glad to be here, and I plan to make this my home. Thank you.
I want to say one other thing, and y'all forgive me. I see your faces. I got up to tell y'all that I've been through 20 years of disability with AT&T. They forced me into disability. I fought it. I didn't get paid for 2 years after my sick leave stopped. For 1 year, I got sick leave for 1 year. I got 6 weeks paid vacation. And then they put me on disability for 20 years. And I was bitter. When I came back to church, I was bitter. I was angry at them. I'd trained half of them for their job. And I thought, "Well, God, I'll give that up if you'll bring me back into church. I'll give that up. Whatever it is you want out of my life, you're the important thing." And I nearly lost out with you when I left church. So whatever you want to put me through, I'll go through it so I can be back with you and your people. Because that's where my heart is. That's my family. This is my family. Y'all are my family. You really are. And I'm concerned about each and every one of you, and I pray for you. And even those I fuss with, and even those that don't like me, or that I wonder why they don't like me. I don't know totally what's in their heart. But, you know, I pray one day somehow I do something to please them and make them happy again. Maybe I can. Maybe God can. I can't change anybody. I'm just... I'm one of the peons. But I wanted to tell you that when I turn 65 in 2 months, they're going to retire me. I got notice that they're going to retire me with the phone company. After 20 years of disability, I'll be retired. Now, tell me that's not God. And I was bitter when it happened to me. I thought, they're trying to cheat me out of what I worked for hard all those years. And I went up there every time they had the doors open. And every time I was dedicated to them and I helped because I was worried about the people there and worried about the customers getting treated right. And the company making it. Because that was my retirement, I thought. But then they took it away from me for 20 years. I did get disability pay because I had 30 years with Social Security at age 42. I had 30 years with Social Security. And I went up there to draw my Social Security, and it took me to, I didn't even want to go in there. I didn't want to retire at 42. I was ready to go do another job, get another retirement. I'm a work person. I've worked all my life. I worked in this school here 8 years. And they're changing our insurance this year. I talked to Brother Tally about it and Sister Inez, not knowing what to do. They're not going to pay for my insurance anymore. But they told me that my Medicare is going to become my insurance, and I've got all the different things in it, and that the company has got $4,700 saved back in my savings to pay my insurance policy, which I didn't even know I had. I don't know where it came from. And they're going to give me $200 on my retirement check to pay my insurance. I'm going to pay down my Social Security check for my Medicare. And they're going to reimburse me out of this savings account $200 a month. So I'm going to get $200 more than my retirement pay every month. So tell me that's not God. I didn't even know it was there. So don't ever doubt what God's going to do in your life. You can't ever outgive God, like Sister Linda said. And I want to tell you that Brother Shelton Weaver, bless his heart, right after we got married, our car died. And we didn't have a vehicle. And he loaned us a car. And it died. And he never charged us one red cent. God's good and God's people are good. I just want to thank him for that. Because it really helped us. And he acted like he didn't think it was going to work anyway, but, you know, he said, oh, it was not a good car or something. I don't know. I said, but I just feel so bad. And he said, no, 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 no. Very nice. Very good brother. I just want to tell you, he's a good man. And my husband and I both appreciate him, and I want him to be appreciated. And Sister Dolores and Brother Larry employed my husband. And if you hadn't, he wouldn't have been able to get his disability. Thank you. And they helped pay his child support. And I'm very grateful. Thank you for that. Thank you. God bless you.
I just want to thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you. Thank you for being I just want to thank you. just want to praise you. Praise you, oh, for being so good.
Appreciate the service today. Being able to hear our fellow brothers and sisters' lives and how God has touched them and led them. You know, we don't really know what the other's gone through sometimes. And most of the time, we really don't. And when you get a chance to hear how God has worked in their life and led them, you know, it's a current testimony, if you will, of how God is moving amongst His people. We can read the Bible and relate to the many stories. And I thought about Sister June when she was relating about how she had seen the body years before, but it took many years till it actually she was in a body church. I thought about Abraham, and you know when God was first talking to him, and he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't actually get a chance to see the fruition of what his faith meant later on to that great group of people that came from him, but he just moved out in faith. And he just let God lead his life. And that's what we're all trying to do a little bit more each day, is just lean on him and just thank him for what he's done for us. So if we'll just go ahead and we'll dismiss here. Service will be at 5 o'clock normal. Are we having band practice? No band practice today. Enjoy a little bit later there. And let's see what God has for us tonight. Let's come with him on our mind as far as to lift him up, to praise him, to get a closer walk with him. So let's just thank him right now. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for this opportunity, Lord, to lift you up, God. Oh, Jesus, help us to be a better example in this world, Lord, a stronger light, God. Oh, Jesus, we appreciate you for all that you've done for us, dear God. Keep us safe as, Lord, we're traveling right now. Bring us back here tonight, Lord, to lift you up a little bit more, Lord, Jesus. We appreciate you and we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you later.